All right, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Designated Players Podcast. This is episode 20. That's right, two tens. That's wild. We are joined with three very special guests. We have the usual three, but we also have three very special guests, or two, really, now. We're waiting on a third. But we are working on our biggest collaboration to date, which is really exciting for us. We're joined with Luis Rabano and Jonathan Ward, hosts of the Sactown FC podcast, which covers everything USL and future MLS club Sacramento Republic FC. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us here. And yeah, you know, we're excited to talk all things, you know, soccer.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's a little early still, but we'll get over the time difference. You guys get 3 hours extra a day when we're just waking up. So you guys have your running shoes on. We're just waking out of bed.
Oh, yeah, we appreciate you being so flexible, but this is really cool. You know, a cross-country podcast is really really something unique, especially for us. You know, we are only 20 episodes in, but compared to some that are a lot bigger. But this is really cool for us, and we're excited to knock it out of the park. But let's jump right in to Scarf of the Week. So I will actually send it over to our guest. Jonathan, what are you rocking?
Right now I have the California Storm scarf on. That is our WPSL. It's a semi-pro league in North America and Canada. Our team, the California Storm, who we also are partners with. We do all their media, their game day stuff. So it's kind of exciting. They have these bar scarves that are really, really nice, and it goes well with the Celtic kit. So we're good.
Love that. Love that. Luis, what about you?
I got a Indomitable City scarf from Sacramento Republic. It's a scarf that they actually sold as a fundraiser for Rayleigh's Food for Families. So they delivered a lot of meals to people in need during this time. So all the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds from the scarves went to that cause. So yeah, really one of my favorite scarves because of how amazing, you know, it was and really the meaning behind it as well.
Oh yeah, we're going to talk about that later. But you know, we noticed how much outreach that the club does with its fans and everything, and it's one of the coolest parts about the club, at least for me personally. I would ask Connor what you're wearing, but we all know what you're wearing. But just for our guests, why don't you show off for them what you got?
If I didn't bring this, you probably wouldn't even know who I was. So it's only right that I do. But for the guests, it's a nice Atlanta scarf that I got from the inaugural season when I made the decision to follow them. And it's the only scarf that I have. So I wear it every week and they give me a lot of crap for it.
We're going to work on getting him a bunch.
He's got to raise his game. Roughneck scarves.
I know.
Raise his
game. I do.
We tell him every week. He just never, it's the AirPods, man. He can't hear. Adam, what do you got?
So I can't remember if I brought this one on the show before, other than the Inter Miami kit. But in honor of the Sacramento boys joining us with the red and gold, I decided to try to match as best as I could until I get a Sacramento scarf with my World Cup Belgium.
Very nice. And I think this is the first time I'm rocking the actual Red Bull kit. So this might be the first time I brought the kit out. But to commemorate our first cross-country podcast, I went with the USA scarf, New York to Kentucky to California. We're all over the place, and you know, it's just it's the best one I can get right now until I start making my moves on scarves from people that we interview. Why don't we just jump right into what we're looking at and look at starting with the history of the podcast in general. So first I want to ask, you know, before Sacramento became MLS and won their bid, were there any teams that you guys supported individually? And then how did the podcast start? You know, what was your motivation? When did it really start? Things like that.
So I'll start with the teams, and then we'll let Luis tell the story because it's Luis's story. But for me, I've always been a Celtic and Manchester United supporter. Before moving back to Sacramento last August, we lived in the Bay Area, so we kind of supported the team on the Quakes just a little bit because that was the MLS team that was in the area. My son wanted to go to games, but we always had Sacramento in the ear. We were always watching their matches. So when we moved to Sacramento, my son was like, do we get to leave the Quakes and be Republic fans? And I explained to him, yes. So when we had the downtown rally, my son and I took a sick day from school and headed down there, which was kind of cool. But yeah, we're Sacramento, Manchester United, and most importantly, Celtic supporters in this house. And if you're not a Celtic supporter, you don't get to live here.
I like how your son asked, do we get to leave San Jose? Not do we have to. Do we get to?
It was hard, man. He has a mind of his own for a five-year-old, and he was ready because he's a Kings fan. So it was like, oh, this is Sacramento. This is what we do. And I'm kind of glad that he knew that. Just like you're a Red Sox fan in my house too. You have to get over that.
So I still go for this team too, but my team is Cruz Azul from Mexico. Born and raised, always, you know, just with the team as being my number one. But MLS-wise, I mean, I kind of went off on and off too. I didn't really have a team that I really supported. I was more like, hopefully it's a California team. I did follow the Galaxy there for a little while, but I mean, to be honest, that was probably just because they, you know, they would always get a really good designated player. Whereas the Earthquakes never really brought anybody, honestly. It was kind of sad. But
he had a crush on David Beckham, just like everybody else in America.
Adam does too, evidently.
But yeah, so there wasn't really – I wasn't really too into the league too. And then 2013 came about. I heard about Sacramento possibly getting a USL team and started to follow it more closely. And then I saw some of the games on TV their first season. Sadly, wasn't able to go during that first season where they won the championship. But I did get to start going second season and, you know, just got hooked on it. Eventually joined our supporters group, Tower Bridge Battalion. And the rest is history, really. So podcast-wise, how we started, it's kind of funny. We actually could go back to last year because I hopped on Twitter. I posted a tweet asking if anybody would be really interested in starting a Sacramento Republic podcast. And, you know, I had actually listened to two or three others that were out there. And I always thought it would be great to have something on my own where I could do kind of my own format. I could do it kind of my own, get my own twist to it and, you know, just have a team like that. I didn't get any response last year. The tweet just kind of went away. And so I looked at possibly maybe joining one of our other local Republic podcasts, but sadly, they actually did not respond to me. They left me on read, and they did send me a spammy Instagram message, which apparently their account had been hacked, which is kind of weird. This year came about again. It was the beginning of the year, and I thought, why not? Let me send out another tweet. Who knows? It might actually work out this time. And within probably 12 hours, John responded there. He was just like really interested in also joining, and he was just ready to get the ball rolling. So we started to really start to plan things out. It probably took us like 3 or 4 weeks. I know John was pretty like anxious to get the ball going and get it all started, but he bought a mic too. I remember this before we even talked on the phone, before we even hopped on recording. And then, so I bought a mic as well. Knowing that he had already bought one, I was like, okay, pressure's on to make sure that, you know, we get something good. And if you guys go back and listen to that first episode though, our audio quality is still not really great. Remember, John was having some audio issues when we first hopped on, so he had to actually do it with his AirPods. Yeah, so we recorded the first episode, and then I believe it was the fourth episode that we interviewed our other co-host, Danny Troy. He's actually a founder of one of our supporters groups who used to support Reno, and then they had their own story, moved to Sacramento. And so after we did that interview, things really kicked it off between us two. And I remember John telling me, you know, like, we should get him back on the show. And so went off from there. And then, you know, we established this whole like three team thing with the podcast. And then probably halfway through the podcast as of now, another co-host of ours, Michael, joined in too. He said he had always been interested in being a part of it too. So, you know, we gave him a chance to join the team. And then a little bit afterwards, we started to go on Twitter to ask people if anybody would be interested in writing like some sort of soccer column, soccer blog on our website. And we actually got an interest from a player who is currently playing for Orange County Soccer Club over in the USL as well. And so that's Seth Kasipley's his name. And so he joined, and we've had him on a couple of episodes and also some of our lives that we do too. So it's kind of how our team has been kind of growing and molding itself. But I mean, initially the podcast started to, you know, just do some Sacramento Republic talk each week about that, maybe interview some people that are on the team. And so after, you know, COVID hit us and we all started going under quarantine, we had to really plan things out a little bit differently, because now we were, you know, now we weren't going to be covering games too. And so, you know, I think it really helped us, because we helped really change the, I guess, the main point of the podcast to also, you know, just talk to the soccer community in general. And so that's kind of where we've been at now. You know, we've already had like over 50 podcast recordings. We have like a lot that they're just kind of just waiting to be edited in the works. Yeah, it's been really great. We've met a lot of amazing people, and yeah, we've really gotten to know a lot of the soccer community, and now we're here with you guys.
We're happy to have you. Absolutely happy to have you.
Yeah, don't worry about that early audio quality, because we're the same boat. I know, especially for me, I was using like my old iPod headphones with the little mic, so I had to hold it up to my mouth, and now I have this semi-professional looking thing. So we still got to get Andrew Connor.
You evolve. You evolve, yeah. Right?
And it's always funny to see that, you know, going back. And if you guys go back to listen to episode one, at the end when we're doing our outro, even John tells me that. He's like, you know, a year from now, we're going to be listening to this and we're going to be, you know, thinking like, what were we thinking? And like recording like that too. So it's funny, you know, I think you can go to anyone and see the first couple episodes and notice that audio quality wasn't there, but you know, eventually you start to really change that. And it's a funny story to see, you know, to go back and just see, you know, how things got started and whatnot. And I could think of like the way we do shows now versus the way we did those like first five shows and how much of a difference it's been. You know, we are definitely more organized now, and we definitely have a much better intro song than what we did at the beginning. So it's just a constant evolution, and it's really great, you know, to be able to look back.
Oh yeah. If I went back and listened to that first episode, I think I might just delete the whole podcast. I'm remembering now everything that the content was good, but the quality was just not there. And I don't even like just thinking about it makes me cringe a little bit.
I like to go back to air check to see what I could do differently, or what Luis and I have and Danny can figure out and change. Maybe it's like rhythm or you know, conversations, questions, but I think we've got a template now that has everything that we want to do. It's got all the past questions, and we're just like, burp, burp, burp. So everything kind of ties in. It's actually really nice, because you can continue to grow and manipulate that file and be better, right? I mean, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give better quality content and serve a purpose on our communities. So it's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
I mean, speaking of content, you guys not only cover Sacramento now, but you guys have a Liga MX show. You're starting up a women's soccer podcast. Like, you guys are just expanding, seems like every day.
Yeah, the goal originally was just to have the podcast, I think. And Luis was always like, all right, yeah, podcast. And then I kept throwing other things at him, like, let's do this. We got to change our logo. Luis created the first logo. I don't know if you guys have been able to see that, but the first logo was like a bear with like a ball on its palm or under its paw. I'm like, we got to upgrade, man. So it started with that, and it snowballed to where, you know, we have our own website. We have our YouTube channel has three different stations now, and we've gone shows and podcasts. So it's kind of nice because we've evolved and we're going to continue to grow. We've partnered with, you know, the local women's soccer team, as I said in the beginning. We also have partnered with Reboot, who's a nonprofit organization from Seattle. We're working with them to do boot drives where we collect boots for local organizations in need, like Street Soccer USA, who is in the New York area as well. And I'm sure could use some help if you guys ever think about that. But, you know, I have 200 pairs of soccer cleats in my garage. My garage smells like a wet gym.
Been there.
Bad. 200 pairs of boots though, it's like, all right, I can't deal with this. So yeah. You know, we do what we can for the community, because in the end, and as you grow, you'll see it's all about community and how you create that and build it your own way. So yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I could agree with that too. Like, I think we found that having these additional shows and we used to have Emekis on the podcast, and we recently just transitioned into just have it be on YouTube and social media. But we found that like our co-host Danny, he's really into Liga MX as well. I'm really into Liga MX. On the Sacktown UK side, Michael is really into the UK game too. And so we found that, you know, they like to do, you know, they like to talk about those leagues. And, you know, we figured let's give them a platform as well where they can actually talk about that, where we can interview former players, current players. And so far it's been pretty good. I mean, Sacktown UK only has one episode that we did on Wednesday. But MX, we've been able to already interview like 5 or 6 players or past players too. And so it's been really interesting, you know, to be able to see differences and interviewing international players versus interviewing players that are from here as well. So it's definitely something, you know, we're continuing to grow. And, you know, I think we're really enjoying, you know, the fact that we're able to have a platform for that. We don't always have to talk about it on Sacktown FC podcast because we want to do FC podcast to be more regionalized, more than just talking about other leagues as well. So it's great that we found a platform. And what we're currently actually working on is we're trying to set like a weekly schedule to where people can expect it to be almost like a, you know, like a weekly TV show where, you know, at a certain time we go live. And so people can kind of set some time if they want to listen to it live, if they want to watch it live. So
since you're actually the first, I think, Liga MX fan that we've had on, I'll just ask quickly, what do you think about getting rid of the relegation?
I think it's the biggest mistake they could ever make. I think it's one of those things that really made it different than like the MLS, and one of those things that I think fans really appreciated, the fact that, you know, they could still see Pro Rel there too. So getting rid of it is not good. I know why they did it for, though. It's at the end of the day with Liga MX, a lot of the league really revolves around business and if it makes business sense and whatnot. And a lot of the second division teams, they couldn't really qualify to go to first division because they had a lot of requirements that were set upon them by the league to make it to first division. So it had already been, I think, like 2 or 3 champions from second division that hadn't actually been able to move on. And when those things happened, they had to have someone else maybe come in and take their spot for first division, or maybe the first division team could actually stay and they just had to pay, like, I think it was like $6 million. And so I think they just kept seeing that and they just thought, we're just going to just stop doing that. We're going to take a break from it. And then we're going to hopefully come back with more teams that have that capacity to move up, which, to me, I feel like they were being too strict about it because they were just too stringent on like the rules they wanted these teams to have, considering that they're second division teams. You can't really expect them to, you know, have that cash flow to do all these things that you want them to do for first division. So, I mean, that was kind of a shame. But they are saying, though, that there's hope that promotion might actually come back in 2022, but relegation might not come back until maybe 2025. Hopeful that that's changing, and hopefully by next year we start seeing it again. But even if that's the case, at least if we still see promotion, I think that'll be good, because they do have a goal of reaching, I believe it was like 24 teams here in the next coming years too. So I'm all for the league growing. I think, you know, there's enough teams out there to really do a 24 team league. And, you know, if MLS is going to be a 30 team league, then Liga MX needs to step it up and be at least closer to that number too, and a number of teams.
So. One league, 50 teams. Let's do it.
You're going to get them started. And now he's going to go on.
I'm kidding. Just for the two new people, I hate that idea.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you too. We've talked about it before too. And it's, for one, I know it's not going to work out. Logistic-wise, you can't make that work out. And secondly, the leagues are just managed real different. There's a lot of like under the table things that happen in Liga MX that MLS would not want to be a part of. So I know it's impossible. As much as
maybe like Cruz Azul's owner with the money laundering, I'm just saying.
Well, to be honest though, like there actually aren't our owners though. Like we're owned by the company that does the cement too. So
that's
we're not really. Yeah, no, they're president, vice president, but trust me, as fans, we've always wanted them kicked out, though. We wanted them kicked out because there's a lot of shady things going on in themselves, too, and I don't even want to get started with that, too. But yeah, no, we wanted them to to get kicked out. And I think just in general, anytime you hear anything going on shady in the league, you just kind of want that to be like gone. And, you know, we've had a lot of things happen, and just the fact that they canceled our season, which, you know, was still undergoing, it was like a big thing. And really, I think they revealed to like the entire world, you know, all the shady practices that they did, because essentially they wanted everyone to think that they canceled it for health reasons, which would have been good if it would have been the case. But now they're telling us that next season is coming up in July 24th. And then one team that played in the previous season, they, out of nowhere, they just moved them out. And it's a team that had been there for a long time. They moved them to this other city, which is a cool city, Mazatlan too. You know, it's a really touristy city. You got beach and all that too. But still, you could right away know that they did it because they wanted to move that team. And they didn't want to resume with that team still being there, especially because this new team had a new stadium too. So it's really clear, you know, why they canceled it too. So it's just really shady, you know, to see those things happening.
One thing I will say, if the U.S. and Mexico ever combine leagues, I don't think any other league has a right to complain about travel until they have to make the trip that a Canadian team will have to make into Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely.
One other thing that we wanted to ask was, do you guys find any difficulties with talking about so many different leagues, or is it a good opportunity for you guys to talk about new content?
Anytime you can give new content and you can expand, right? It always draws in more people. One of the things that we were blessed with is that we had an audience that was about us. And so when we were able to do content, it only expands our ability. We have the knowledge base. I mean, all four, five of us have some form of knowledge from that area. You know, Luis and Danny are Liga MX's till they die, essentially. Michael and I, my family's from Scotland, so I have all that knowledge. I grew up on Manchester United and Eric Cantona, and together we have the ability. And then we have Seth, who does our Soccer Pulse, who plays. He's played in Reno. He plays at Orange County. So he knows the landscape of, you know, development academies. And we actually just we have another partner joining us for the women's show, and she has this unique knowledge of just everything women worldwide. And to the point now she's actually studying the college game. So we've been able to use our experiences and our knowledge to really create this network, this platform that appeases and gets to all people. I mean, we aren't just talking about USL or MLS. Now we're able to branch out and get more listeners and more follows and more understanding of the game. And the way we do it is a little different. You know, we're just a bunch of guys from Sacramento who happen to know, or Modesto and Reno and Orange County, who know the game, and you know, we enjoy it. So it's fun.
Very nice. Let me pick your brain on the women's soccer show. I, to my knowledge right now, unless I haven't looked hard enough, I don't know very many women's soccer podcasts out there. So, you know, what gave you the inspiration to start it, and are you having success with it? Or, you know, when you look at your numbers of who's listening, is it something that's becoming popular? Are you becoming one of the, you know, the leaders in that field?
So there's definitely a need, right? There's a thirst for this information. When we started with the show, it was like, oh, we're gonna be a Republic based. And then when Republic went kind of south on everything and went dark, we reached out to the California Storm, and they were extremely open to working with us, and we partnered with them to the point where we do appearances. We are, like I said, we do their play-by-play, we do their game day stuff, and it's great. And my daughter, who's three, loves the game of soccer. So this is an opportunity for me as a father. I've coached girls soccer my entire life, you know, from when I started coaching a few years ago to having my own daughter. And now I get to actually use my platform, my knowledge, my understanding of the game. There isn't podcasts. There's no shows.
Right.
You know, ESPN, FC, there's a few, right? But if this is something that the community needs, we can cover the NWSL, the WPSL, we can cover the FA's Women's Super League. We have the opportunity to cover all of this. And there isn't a podcast, I don't think, and I haven't researched, that covers all of it from the United States.
Right.
So the content that we can provide with the knowledge that we all have and share, it only makes it that much easier and that much better for not just our community, but the national audience that needs this or wants this.
Absolutely. And outside of just people starting to talk about it more, you know, with podcasts or the Women's World Cup, you know, you always see that spike. Women's World Cup, everybody's hyped about it. The second that thing ends, it's like, oh, they don't exist anymore, right? What do you think, personally, after, you know, being exposed to it so much, that the women's game can do to get more exposure? You know, how can they get themselves out there?
It takes us. It takes people talking about it, not just talking about it for a month, not talking about it for a couple of days or a spattering of tournaments that are here and there. It's a constant conversation. You know, for men's soccer, we can talk about it till we're black and blue in the face all year round, right? Like, we can have those conversations. That's just the way it is. And I can sit here tired as heck, but I can still find a way to talk about, you know, the French league or Bundesliga. That's just the way it is. Yeah. And the knowledge base for women is essentially the national teams. It's not, you know, look at Twitter, your timeline's filled with, oh, MLS is coming back. Well, MLS is the second sport to come back. The NWSL had a plan. In fact, it was so good that players said, all right, we're going to play and we're not going to lock out. The owners weren't going to lock players out. Right. And so for us, it's just about creating that content that talks about it. It brings light to, you know, the French captain who's 6'4", who towers over everybody, or, you know, Alex Morgan, for wanting to participate in the tournament, but not sure how she's going to be able to do that after giving birth. But those are all conversations people don't get, right? Did you guys know the NWSL rule where women couldn't play in Europe because of their tied contractually? Like, no. Those are all things, right? Like, that's the stuff that people don't get or understand. So by beating them or giving them that opportunity, it definitely does. It drives a thirst for more knowledge.
I think especially now that like baseball and, you know, football aren't on TV, both the MLS and the women's game have literally just the spotlight to themselves. So this is their golden kind of moment to say that, like, start watching, you know, especially those of us who have been sport deprived for the last 3 months.
So you guys have had a lot of really cool interviews since you guys have started your podcast. Do you guys have one in particular, maybe it's personally for different for each of you, that you can say is your favorite?
I'm still thinking about this one.
I mean, I think our favorite, at least for me, was the Brandi Chastain interview. You know, Jamie Lavoie and Brandi Chastain. Jamie is the owner and coach for the California Storm. Brandi obviously is an American, you know, women's player icon. To hear her story, right, of being resilient and, you know, having that reboot moment. She scored an own goal that would have kicked out the U.S. going into that final that she ended up winning. So there's just a lot of stories. You know, don't get me wrong, we've had train wrecks along the way. There's a few that we have not been able to use. But, and those could be fun, right? Like, you're just like, wow, what is this person thinking? Like, but yeah, I would say the Brandi Chastain and even our local Taro Arai, who owns Makuni. I think that would have been fun because he gives so much knowledge and depth into the conversation. Might not all be about soccer, might be about life and just his experiences from being, you know, coming from Japan at a young age. That was fun.
Yeah, well, I think you took the two episodes I would have mentioned too. But, you know, if I have to mention another one aside from those two as well, I would probably say we did an interview with a guy named Chando, who owns Chando's Tacos, and he's been really supportive of the Sacramento Republic ever since we started. And they always have their truck is always at the games too. He's sponsored them before, like on the field too, I believe. And so just hearing, you know, the story about how he got started and all the things he's done for the community too is, it's just really great and inspiring. You know, I think some of my favorite interviews have been really those, you know, the ones that we've done with anybody in the community, anybody supporting the game and also supporting their business at the same time. Because I think when you see a local business really supporting the game you love, you want to go out there and support them too. You know, you want to go and patronize them and always, you know, just visit their localities and whatnot. So I would say that one was another one. Also on the Sacton and Mickey side, and this was probably like 2 weeks ago, we actually got the chance to interview a legendary Liga MX player who actually is actually one of the foreign players that's actually played the most games in the history of the league too. Like this guy, Yeah, his name's Rodrigo Ruiz, also known as Pony. Really cool dude. I mean, he was really short, but the things this guy did on the field, if you guys have a chance to check him out on YouTube, like, it's just crazy, like the game he had. And he could have easily gone to Europe too. I just think since he was more in the 90s and it was a bit, you know, tougher to make that jump back then, he didn't. But yeah, I thought it was a really interesting interview. And just the fact that we're able to get him on our pod, being that our MX, you know, thing hasn't been going on for too long. We probably have, I believe, like 6 or 7 episodes right now. So just the fact that he was cool with jumping on and we were able to work and do all that too was just really great. I know my other co-host was really looking forward to it too, and he was a big fan of him as well. So that was a really interesting one. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, I think anytime we also get the chance to interview a player, it's always really interesting because we're able to get their perspective on, you know, how the game's like, you know, how it is to step on the pitch and whatnot, and to be able to hear all the supporters, like, just supporting them during each home game too is really great. And I think just being a part of a supporters group, it gives you that insight, you know, that players actually do get that extra motivation from just hearing you do your chants, from hearing the music. So I think it always makes me feel great, you know, to hear that from players, especially from the Sacramento Republic, to hear, you know, that what we're doing is making a difference in their game.
Definitely. So this can be, you know, show dependent. So this can be either for the Sacramento part or for the Liga MX's part. Do you guys have a dream kind of, this is the pinnacle of who we want to get on?
I would say for Sactown FC, and we might actually get this to work out too. It'd be amazing if we did. It'd be cool if we got Landon Donovan on the show. That to me would be like the best thing that could happen to get one there too. For Liga MX, we do have a couple. I mean, if we were to get all legendary Hugo Sanchez on, I feel like...
Oh, now you want to hype up Hugo. Oh, okay.
No, I mean, I never said he wasn't a good player too. I'm just saying, like, I think it would be great, you know, for that platform. For UK, I don't know who you would say, John, but I mean, going back to David Beckham, just because you brought him up earlier too, I think David Beckham on Sacktown UK would be the best thing that could happen there too. So, yeah, I mean,
Henrik Larsson. Yep. Henrik Larsson from Celtic. I think that would be huge. I would love to have that opportunity to get him on, because he was the king of not just Scotland, but also he went to Manchester United and dominated for the loan spell he was there. But for what we're trying to do, and we're trying to grow that community, we would have to go with the GOAT from the women's national team. I would love to get Mia Hamm on to talk about what made her successful, right, and how she, you know, grew into the player that she was. And even life after playing, right? She's got her foundation. She's a part owner with the LAFC. Her husband was a really dynamic shortstop for the Red Sox and Dodgers. But, you know, anytime you have those individuals that you can have on that might be overlooked in many occasions, but then you have like the one that everybody knows. Everybody knew who Mia Hamm was. Everybody, even some of the gentlemen I played with, they would always want to know more about her, like what she did, because she had such a knack for the game, and that's just kind of where I would stand with it. But yeah, Hugo Sanchez, Blanco, if we could get Blanco on, that'd be kind of cool, because he can give us some insight into the Chicago Fire days. Like, there's all that side. So, you know, the legends would be who you want to speak with.
And I would probably also say, like, if we could get also, like, Clint Dempsey would be cool too. Get his take on you know, playing in England and playing here too. So, one thing, you know, I'd say for you guys, and I think for any other podcasters out there too, is that if there are players, if there's people that you want to get on your pod, I don't think, you know, it's not bad to dream. It's not bad to like want to get someone and kind of work towards it, because if that person is open to it, you know, after you've been at it for a while, then I think they probably would not mind to get onto. And it's just like our other co-host Danny, it's one thing he always says too, is that like if he were a player, like he would want to be on, you know, he would want to like answer the fans, hop on these interviews and really just talk the game with fellow fans too. So at the end of the day, you know, there are some players and former players that are like that and that are willing to give that extra hour because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, like they wouldn't get paid what they get paid if it weren't for us buying the merchandise, going to games and whatnot. So you'd be surprised. I think sometimes when you interview some players and when you actually do get like a response back from them, that there are some players that you probably would have thought like, oh, they're probably not going to jump on, or they seem like the kind of player that wouldn't even want to like do these things, but they actually do. And they actually end up being a really great person to talk to too. So never give up and always, you know, try and if you want to get an interview, like just work towards it and find your way to be able to communicate with that person and try to get them on your show, I think would be the best thing.
I would say it's, you know, Alexis Guerreros from the Cooligan said it best for us was you walk up to somebody and you approach them, you say, why haven't you been on my show? That's kind of the form. That's like the idea, right? So you have to have kind of a bit of swag to what you're trying to get out.
Zach, and I can guess at who Andrew and Connor would be dream guests. Andrew would say either Dax or Luis.
Yeah, so yeah, I'd take either of those.
And Connor.
Yosef.
Yeah.
Somebody from Chelsea. Oscar.
No, I don't think so. I honestly think that my dream guest would maybe be like Jimmy Conrad.
Oh, man.
Interesting.
Side story. I was supposed to meet Jimmy Conrad in freshman year of high school, and it got snowed out.
Oh,
I don't remember what it was for, like a leadership thing. And I was supposed to meet him, and then it got snowed out and never rescheduled.
This is your perfect opportunity to be like, back when I was in high school, you tell him the date. You were not able to come speak to me because it got snowed out. You should come on my show. That's how you need to approach this right now.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to start that tweet like as soon as we're done here, and we'll send it out.
I'll start it for you. Hold on.
we'll retweet it.
I was going to say, Andrew, any guesses on mine?
Yours?
Yeah. I'll give you a hint. MLS player.
MLS?
Yep.
Jurgen Locadia.
Shut up.
I would say probably all FCC players.
Yeah.
I'd say from Red Bull, probably Lloyd Sam. I know you like Lloyd.
I do like Lloyd Sam.
And then if you're going to go Miami, I'd say probably Pizarro or Lewis Morgan probably. I know you love Lewis Morgan.
Lewis Morgan is very good. but I'm thinking neither of those teams. I'm thinking Zlatan.
Oh, well, he's not.
Yeah.
Imagine the episode you could have with that man.
That's why I didn't go that way. He's not in the league anymore. But yeah, if you had said like former, yeah, that would be my first choice.
I have a quota on our show that I have to bring up Zlatan at least once an episode, even if he has nothing to do with the topic. So
go for it.
I just sneak him in when I can.
There's plenty of ways to bring him on.
If he hadn't blown his knee out, he would still be represented or respected as probably one of the best in the game right now.
Yeah.
But because of that and some of the ongoing issues of moving to MLS, like, had he not blown his knee out, he would still be in Europe. He'd still be a top performer. At least that's what you like to think, right? I've had two knee surgeries. I don't move the same. And it happens, right?
He is still in Europe, though, right now.
But he's playing for AC Milan. But apparently he had a injury to his Achilles. I don't know how much that is there, but I'll have to do some research and find out.
Yeah, so there was talk of the former AC Milan owner wanting to bring back Zlatan and Kaká or Pato to whatever, like, I think it was Zlatan and Pato to whatever, like, small semi-professional team he owns now.
Just for giggles.
Yeah, just, I mean, hey, he's 37, 38, you know.
He can still play at the highest level.
Oh,
he can still play.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to the partnership with the California Storm, you know, how did that come about? Did you guys reach out to them? Did they reach out to you guys?
So we had two of their players on, and one of our former guests, Jeannie Mabry, who works for Makuni, she introduced us, and we had them on. And during the course of the conversation, it just was a really solid conversation. In the end, we essentially just said, hey, if you ever need anybody to do media or if you need somebody who can help you and you need a platform, we would love to partner up with you and you know, make this work. And the executive board member and the owner and head coach were like, hey, why not? Let's do this. So we've had a great relationship. We've done a lot of awesome things in our community together, and it's only going to get bigger as we go. In fact, Monday, you know, pay attention to Twitter and Facebook. There's a huge announcement coming that we're really excited about. And I can't wait. I can't, you know, explain it, but it's like that teaser, right? I want to say it, but I gotta hold it to the chest for a little bit longer. So tomorrow.
So you guys clearly have a lot of knowledge when it comes to NWSL. So kind of curious to see what your take is on the proposed expansion that the league is looking to do.
Well, anytime you have expansion, right, there's always that what if. We recently got Bev Giannis, who came down from Seattle to live and help at Copa and Walnut Creek, and she was going to join the Storm. So everybody up in Seattle like, oh, she's going to for NWSL. Well, expansion doesn't happen like that. You know, you have to go through the process. We've felt that in Sacramento. We were often the bridesmaid, never the bride, until this last go around. Cincinnati got a team, Miami got a team because of Beckham. Austin got a team, right? Charlotte's got a team. Like, all these people are getting teams in Sacramento. We've had the biggest fan base, we've had the best supporting groups, and we were never given that opportunity until we had to pay almost $325 million to get the rights to even consider ourselves MLS. So NWSL works kind of in the same idea, right? They have 9 teams. They recently took a team out of the market in Boston, which hurts, right? And you don't have a team in California. How you don't have a team in California with the Earthquakes, with Galaxy, with the LAFC, with the Republic, with, you know, even W or USL, right? But we have all these WPSL teams from Davis, Sacramento, Bay Area. There's multiple teams, and not one women's team in the NWSL. So it is only a matter of time before California gets it. Maybe 2 teams, who knows? But with the expansion, that process takes forever. It could be next year. It could be Monday. It could be any other time, and it's not Monday. I'll tell you that right now. But you know, those are all the opportunities. They're definitely out there for fans.
All righty. So let's dive in then to the history of the club itself, Sacramento FC, right? So tell us a little bit about kind of where it started, how it started to grow, you know, when it started. Just little basics for people who kind of don't know anything about it.
You want me to start, Luis, or I can start with kind of the grassroots of it happened over a cup of coffee when somebody said, I want to do this. I want to start a USL team, or I want to bring MLS to Sacramento, and it just snowballed into so much more. So Luis has the storytelling, so we'll let Luis go with this one.
Yeah, it was back in 2013. They made an announcement, you know, that they were going to have a team, and they actually, I remember they put it out to the fans to figure out logo design. I wish I would have been good at graphic design back then, because I would have loved to have actually designed something for them. And I remember that they had, I think they sorted them out to a Final Four picks. And then so people got to vote on which logo was the one that they were going to go with. And then I believe it was during a halftime of a, I don't remember exactly what they called it. It must have been like just soccer day or something, at like our minor league baseball team that we have in the city too, where they announced the logo, the name of the team, everything too. And I wasn't there, sadly. I wish I would have been there. But from what I hear is that they were supposed to announce it. You know, they had their time. They were going to announce it. It was going to be all dramatic with like a, I don't know if they had a tarp around like the logo and they were just going to lift it up or something like that. But turns out that they ended up leaking it before. Like, it didn't happen at that time. It happened like just 30 minutes before or something like that too. And so people went wild for the name too. When I saw the logo, I was like, this is perfect, because, you know, Sacramento is the capital of California too. So the logo encompasses elements of all of our state, of our state flag. And so naturally being the capital, I think it fit well to have a logo like that. And so we went on from there to have our first friendly match, which was at a local community college, which was a pretty big stadium. It wasn't anywhere near small. And we actually packed it. We had about a little over 20,000 people that showed up to our first ever, you know, friendly game. And so seeing that, I think really, I think we really made an impact from the get-go, you know, like in showing the city and showing the league and showing MLS and showing, you know, the world that there was a lot of people that really loved the sport here. And people were willing to pack a community college stadium for not even a league game, for just a friendly game. And it went on from there to our first season. All of our first season, we had sold out. And back then, our stadium had a capacity of 8,000. So our stadium, actually, they built it. I believe it was like, or it was ready like week four, week five of when we started our season. But our first couple of games were played in that community college stadium. But we were filling up that stadium full season. Actually, one of the reasons I didn't go was because they always had sold outs. A lot of people who were season ticket holders back then. And then second season came and they brought more seats and they extended it to 11,000. But that first season was really magical. I mean, we made it all the way to the final. We won the championship. And just the stories leading to that are, I think, really epic. Really, it's almost like something out of a movie, because in the semifinals, we were down 2-0 against the LA Galaxy's Los Dos, or their second team that they have. In a matter of like, I wouldn't say it was a matter of like 30 minutes, we actually scored three goals to just, you know, take that game. We scored like at the last, almost at the last minute, the third goal. And so it was a magical moment, because when they scored the first goal, which the first two were penalty kicks, but when they get the penalty called, it started to rain too. And so it was almost like it was meant to be, you know? So we do that 3-2 and we get the final game, which the USL, they do a one gamer as well. And we got lucky. It happened to be in Sacramento since we were higher up in the table, and that we won it 2-0, and it was good. You know, it was a good story to tell, because it was our first ever season. And, you know, not only were we kind of making our mark with like having record attendances match after match, I mean, again, we were packing the stadium all the time, but we were also able to be champions that first season, which wasn't an easy feat, you know, having a first team, having players who have never played with each other, and just to already have a good chemistry going on. We had Preki as a coach, who you guys might know of too. So I think it was a really successful first season. And I think from seeing how successful the team was during that first season in all aspects, I think we started to leave our mark. And that's why, you know, after that first season, you started seeing people like hype up the MLS train, and more things came about and whatnot, because the team really had a good structure from the beginning. And that's ultimately, I feel, what led to the championship, because, you know, they decided to invest in Preki, who had all this experience and who really built a solid team up front. That's one of the reasons why I think MLS started looking more at us, really, because they saw that we had everything. We had the game, we had the people coming to support us. And so, you know, it took us a good like 6 years to actually make it to MLS. But now that we're actually in, I'm just glad we're in, as much as it was pretty frustrating from a fan perspective. And I know that up until even like 2 years ago, we started to see like attendance kind of drop, because, you know, it had probably been what, like our second, third time that like we were so close to making it to MLS, and then something happened, and then out of nowhere, we're just out of the loop, and people start hearing that one of our investors dropped out. But, you know, we start seeing Cincinnati, we start seeing Nashville, who didn't even have a team. I mean, Charlotte too, who didn't even really have a team because they're not even tied to their own USL teams, that, you know, a lot of fans started to get frustrated at that, because it almost felt like the league was just playing around with Sacramento, essentially using Sacramento just to grab teams from like other cities too. So I think that's why we started to see like a big decline in attendance too. We weren't seeing like record crowds, a lot of people posting online like, this is never going to happen. You know, you had a lot of people doubting it, even as to we got closer as to like the team, when they were making announcements that we're still working on it and whatnot. We had a lot of doubters, and I guess understandably, because, you know, we had already been through it for 6 years too. So when it finally happened, it was amazing. Like John was saying, you know, that block party that they had, I actually went to it too. I actually had to leave work a little bit earlier as well. And it was really fun. I mean, they had it in our downtown. I don't even know how many people were out there. I'm assuming probably at least 10,000 people were out there. But it was just really amazing. And I think a lot of people, they were waiting for that moment, you know. And so when we finally heard that announcement, we kind of already knew like a week before, just because it's kind of hard to hide something like that, especially when the team is saying, like, be on the lookout. On Monday, we're going to have a block party of some sort. It's like, why else would we be celebrating? Like, we weren't in first place in the USL, so that couldn't have been the celebration. So it was just really great. I mean, again, you know, it's something we're really looking forward to. And the fact that they're building a new stadium in this area of town that has been largely undeveloped. It was an old rail yard station too that they're converting into this really amazing stadium, and also like adding a bunch of things around the stadium too, like a hospital, like hotels, huge shopping center too. So it's going to be a really like big thing, and it's going to help grow the city too. So really looking forward to it. And it's going to be great. And so now we're actually just hoping that we actually still join in 2022, because we haven't heard of any construction news on the stadium as of recently. We did hear from someone that things were still moving forward as planned, but when you don't see things starting construction, it makes you start to worry, especially since in less than 2 years, we would have already been joining MLS. So fingers crossed that still happened. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we just know that we have MLS, and that's really all that matters, really, is that, you know, we finally made it, and now it's only a matter of maybe 2 or 3 years that we are actually going to be in the league.
Correct us if we're wrong, but you guys recently got new owners, or a new owner?
Yeah.
Yeah, we added Ron Burkle, who is a grocery real estate mogul. And so he was going to join and purchase the Kings to keep the Kings in Sacramento before that all changed. But yeah, Ron Burkle is our main backer.
He also owns the Pittsburgh Penguins too, in the NHL too. So he has some, you know, sports backing too. So
yeah, it's kind of a weird stretch though, right? Going from all the way from Pittsburgh all the way across to get a team in California. Hey, whatever works, right? Whatever gets you across the line, you know. Let me ask you guys real quick, like, what was your reaction when it didn't go through the first time? Like, I know you guys talked about kind of feeling tugged around a little bit, but was there any, like, I know you talked about the over the time there wasn't a lot of doubt, but really, like, internally, did you guys think that it was never getting across? I know you were talking about kind of like the social media aspect of you didn't see it, but inside, did you guys really feel like maybe this wasn't going to happen?
There was definitely times. I mean, you sit there and you know, you're wanting to have this team. You want this organization to do well. We still had a soccer team. Don't get me wrong. You still have soccer. But, you know, MLS is what everybody wants. And when you're often, you know, the newspapers and social media, oh, Sacramento's going to be announced. And then you're like, all right, cool. We're going to be announced at the All-Star game. Let's get hyped for it. And then the announcement comes and there's no Sacramento. You're like, all right, this is pretty much just BS. You know, and what are you going to do? You're going to complain and you're going to leave your team or not support your team? No, but it's definitely a letdown. You know, so for us, it was a matter of keep supporting, keep doing what you do. You don't buy into the hype until something's signed, right? And then last year around August, it was like, okay, this is real, you know, and you're kind of panicking. You're like, oh, okay, well, we've got Ron Burkle. Here it is. Like, this is going to be the announcement. And then it finally comes. You're just like, okay, the moments of support, the opportunities that were there, it wasn't our time, but it's our time now. And when we go to MLS, we'll represent, you know, in the best way we can. Hopefully not like what Minnesota or Cincinnati did their first year, but we do better. And we actually can represent and hold our own, maybe mid-table or even a playoff team. Or heck, we won a championship in our first year with USL. Why can't we do that with MLS?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I think like when I saw like Ron Burkle come through and the fact that, you know, he was joining the team, I think that's when, maybe not just me too, but everyone else, I think that's when like we knew that something serious was going to happen, and that like I think we were more closer now than even in past years too, because he came in and, you know, you're not going to have like this like billionaire guy come in to USL team just to make it like number one in USL. So I think we started to have more faith in what was going on. But it definitely was like sad to see like the team not get MLS all those times and whatnot. And, you know, I remember always just checking up on MLS to see, you know, like up to what amount of teams they were going to do expansion for. And always kind of hoping like, hey, just keep adding, keep adding. If you need to add 40, 50, keep adding, you know, just keep keep growing the league too. So there's more hope there. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I've always said, you know, like even during those times when like MLS just wasn't there, I would always say like, I'm always going to support Sacramento regardless of whether MLS comes here or not, because I always saw that like Sacramento would always be living in the USL. As long as the USL was a league, like we would always see Sacramento. Like there was no way that we would see our team fold. Like the amount of stuff that our team does, like there's no way they would ever fold. So that's kind of how we saw it. In fact, I even told one of the previous vice presidents too, I was like, you guys could build the stadium still, even if we don't get MLS, like you guys should still build the stadium just for us, the fans, and we'll still fill it up for you. Like, no problem too. I think people would still get hyped up or having this really cool new stadium. I'm glad it worked out. But like I said, you know, I saw attendance just decline once, you know, people were seeing that things weren't going nowhere too. And people just talking, people being all negative, like, oh yeah, it's never going to happen and all this. But what I would always say is like, well, if we get MLS, then hopefully you're not on the hype train now, because now we got it and you weren't sticking around, you know? And so we had a couple of fans that did that. I mean, you could just see it with attendance. So, you know, I'm glad it worked out for us. But again, you know, had it not worked out, I think the true fans were still going to games, were still supporting regardless of whether this happened or not. So it was only a matter of us, I think, being able to grow the USL, which I feel like in big part, we're a big reason why the USL continues to grow, because at the end of the day, we're one of the teams that pulls more people and one of those teams that does more for the community. I could really say that too. I think that the other teams might not do as much, but Sacramento has always been there since day one, since, you know, like even MLS was in the talks, always been there in the community doing stuff and wanting to grow the game locally too. So, I mean, you just have to support that always, you know, regardless of whether there's a big league or you're in a second division league.
I mean, all you guys have to do is win more than 6 games your first year and already better than Cincinnati.
Yo.
He's on his quotas again.
He also has to bash Cincinnati at least 3 times an episode, so I think we still have a few more to go.
Yeah.
That's okay. We have the same rule for Reno and Las Vegas with their 16 kits that they have to have, because they've got more kits than they have wins in their franchise history. And then Reno, just because it's Reno.
They had Freddie Adu. That's all that matters.
Oh, that's yeah. True. Yeah. And they also had a jersey that apparently had a happy face under it. Right?
I remember that one.
Yeah. No. So yeah, they always, and of course we can't forget the time when they, I think it was $1 million came out of a helicopter. Out of a game too, and you had people running like crazy around the field too. So
just wild.
So kind of keeping on the topic of attendance with Sacramento, as we know, MLS has a huge spectrum of attendance when it comes to the teams, because you have your Atlantas and your Seattles, and then you have your Chicagos and your Colorados. So kind of a two-part question here. Where do you guys think the Sacramento, when they join MLS, will fall within that attendance spectrum? And then also, do you guys think that over time they'll be able to maintain that attendance? Or do you think that within a couple of years into the league, it might start to fall off?
So Sacramento has always been a hotbed. There's always been a need or want for soccer from the time of the Sacramento Knights to the Geckos. There was always a loyal following of those groups. You're not going to see attendance drop off. As it relates to the stadium and what you have, you don't have the capacity of Seattle or Atlanta, but you do have a stadium that will bring in, you know, close to 20,000, and it will fill. If you build it, they will come. And Sacramento has, and being in the middle of the region, right? People from Modesto, like Luis, Clovis, Fresno doesn't have a team. Maybe even as far as Reading. They're going to come to watch these games, and it's going to pick up steam as we go. That stadium will be sold out often, and unless you put out a really bad quality team that's losing matches, you know, 5-0, 4-0. I don't think that is going to change. You know, if you're respected and you're respectful on the field, you're putting out a good product, you're making it fun and entertaining, you have a good game day atmosphere, you'll be fine. And we see that. I mean, people still go to Chicago Fire games, I assume, right? I don't – Colorado?
Maybe. Well,
the – Dynamo?
Yeah. Well, the reason why I asked this is mainly, you know, we saw it firsthand with New York City, right? New York City in their first year were bringing 35, 40,000 people to their games. Now they're struggling to get over 20. That is mainly because of the fact that they aren't building their own stadium, and I get that. But it's also because those – I think especially in the New York market specifically, New York is very, very full of fair weather. I'm just going to follow whatever's there. So I didn't know, I know you talked a little bit about how, you know, it is a hotbed and there was stuff there, but the question that really, it stemmed from that was, is this going to be another New York City where you're getting 40,000 year one, and then by year five, you're at, you know, you're the same place where Red Bull are, which we're not going to
know because yeah, New York, I mean, they jumped in and they didn't have a story, right? They didn't have a history. They were just like, oh, hey, we have this fancy new team that we're going to bring in, you know, these awesome older players who succeeded in Europe, and we're going to build off of them and make this extravagant thing. We're going to play at Yankee ballparks, and we're going to sell it out every time. Right. But eventually when your product is not growing and you can't expect people to go to a baseball stadium and watch a soccer match. You can do it for a football match because it's all the way around, but you have those areas at a baseball stadium that are impeded, your view's impeded. Heck, Fenway has got a big pole in front of one of their seats, so it's like you go to every inning.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you can't play in a baseball stadium. If you're not willing to expand, then you might as well just stay away. I would love to see New York FC fold just because they don't pull or draw like they should. And it takes away from the game. You can't watch – look, how boring is it to watch soccer games without noise or fans? It's essentially what you get with New York, right? Not the Red Bulls. Well, kind of with the Red Bulls, but not as bad. But it's a finicky fan base too. The fan base wants wins. And if you're not providing that regularly, you lose loyalty, Mets.
Yeah. Well, you guys just jumped from my list of you know, being a really good – interview guest to probably closer to the top with those statements. So well done.
I haven't gotten to the Jets yet. Don't worry.
Oh goodness. You don't need to worry about that. That we do that to ourselves.
No, the NFL doesn't even worry about it. Let's be real.
I would also add to that too. So like as the stadium hasn't even been constructed. There's no, like, they haven't even put up one thing. But they've already started to do deposits for seats too. I don't know if you put yours in already, John. I already got my deposit in there. Cool. And last I heard from my rep too is that they were close to filling up those seats that they had placed deposits for too. So, I mean, I think that already sends a strong message too. And I think most of that stadium is going to be sold out before they're even halfway done with the stadium. But yeah, I mean, I see it being consistent. I see it being a little similar to LAFC too, where like they draw crowds always. They're in a perfect location, right? You know, in downtown too. So I see it kind of as a similar situation here as well too, especially with supporters group, and not just because I'm a part of the supporters group too, but I think it's only going to continue to grow even more too. And even now at our current stadium, when we pull a good group out there, and I can only imagine with MLS coming around, more and more people are going to want to join. They're going to have their own section, and it's going to be a little bit similar again to the LAFC 3252 in the section as well. So I see that being a consistent, and I look at it for this way. If in the USL, you know, like, yes, we saw it drop, but that's mainly because MLS not being called up on. Had that not been the case too, we would still be seeing sellouts every single season. And I was even telling John in our first podcast episodes, but for this season, and sadly, you know, we only got to see two games. I was already thinking that this season and then the following season for USL, we would probably be seeing sellouts or seeing pretty much a really packed stadium as people get hyped up knowing that this team is going to join MLS too. And so I think if we start seeing that, especially in these 2 years, and if we look back at like our first 2 years, our first two seasons, we would always see people attending games. Regardless, it was USL and they were still attending games. Then I can only imagine that in the MLS, it's going to be the same way consistently, especially knowing that we're playing against these teams and there's more competitive teams. And I think beyond just that, and I forgot who, someone told us, we interviewed someone, and I remember someone mentioned this too, but they made a good point. We're not only going to be pulling in fans that do support the Republic, we're also going to be getting fans who might just be more casual fans that, you know, want to see like a Carlos Vela, want to see a Chicharito, you know, they want to go to these games because they're playing against this other team. Or maybe they're from LA and they're just LAFC or LA Galaxy fans too. So I think we're going to be pulling in fans from just all over. And Sacramento and just California can get pretty diverse too. And, you know, people coming in from all over the country too. So it's going to be a unique spot. And I think it's going to be a sellout every single time, or at least we're going to see like a pretty full stadium, no matter who we play with too. And again, that's just based on seeing the USL, seeing that even in the USL, we've had games where we might play against a, I don't know, just to think about maybe like a Rio Grande, who might not be as competitive, or even actually let's say Tulsa. Tulsa is not that competitive, or even one of the second MLS teams too, where people probably
drew with Tulsa. How are you going to say Tulsa's no good? We drew with them.
We sure enough though, but that's another.
But we did.
They changed their name though.
If we're talking about comparing teams based off things they should have done, Red Bull are the best team in MLS history.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's only going to be like that because people support Sacramento regardless of who they play against. People are always there, so it's going to be exciting times. And so, you know, we're looking forward to that stadium being a really cool atmosphere.
Yeah, and sounds like it's going to be somewhere that's easily accessible to a lot of people. I know, I mean, speaking of Red Bull, I hate going to Red Bull Arena. It's just such a pain. Andrew's shaking his head because it's taken us 4 hours to get.
I'm reliving the horror trip. Yep.
It was supposed to be like a little over an hour drive from Long Island to Red Bull. It took us 4.5 hours.
We were supposed to, my coach had connections from college to get us on the field and in the locker room and meet some people. We left 4 hours early and didn't get there until kickoff.
And, you know, guys, I think one thing that I did want to say, though, about like those, some of the teams that you guys have mentioned that do draw crowds and are always there. If we look at Seattle, if we look at Portland, like what two things do they have? What thing do they have in common? Well, they started in the USL. They kind of started forming that whole team, you know, that whole like fan base and all that. And I think
they
that's
have a history
probably
behind
one of
them too, though, Luis. Yeah. Remember that? I mean,
oh yeah, going even back, yeah, going back to the yeah. But I think one of the biggest things, and I think even with MLS as they're looking to expand here to a couple more teams, they should start really looking at that. Like, yeah, I know you look at markets. You might look at like a Nashville that, you know, didn't have a team, whatnot. But they need to actually start looking at some of those teams that are already have some history, are pulling in people. I'm looking at like a New Mexico United who recently just joined USL and they've proven to bring people in. I mean, let's face it, New Mexico doesn't have that much live sports, not that much professional sports. So need to start looking at that because that's how you start forming that loyal fan base.
Let's be real. They are going to have a team in Hawaii before they have a team in New Mexico because nobody wants to go to New Mexico. Everybody wants to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, but are you going to pull in people though? Like consistently people there? That's the, dude, I think that's the biggest question.
Look at Vegas, man. Look at the Raiders are in Vegas now. They got a hockey team that sells out every single game. Every game. Doesn't matter if there's shark jerseys or whatever. They sell out every game because of its travel. People want to go to Vegas. People want to go to Hawaii.
Next, they do ignore the lights.
Yeah, they do. Well, I would too. Cabo's going to get an MLS team before New Mexico. Cabo San Lucas has my pitch. I will go own that team.
But, you know, I think like I was saying at the end of the day, it's really looking at like who's more established too, and not just dropping a team just to drop a team somewhere, because then you have those issues. Like, I mean, I always like to like play around with them, but like Chivas USA and how bad that team was, probably one of the worst teams to ever come to MLS. And I don't know who thought that was a good idea. Terrible idea.
Chivas.
Yeah. Well, MLS, you know, like got into it too for a little bit there. And then they wanted to create that rivalry, which was no rivalry with LA Galaxy. But really, it's being able, you know, to really understand more of the markets, because you're going to have situations like Chicago and Colorado too, where you don't have that much support. And I know with Chicago, a big thing was that they weren't even playing in the city. They were playing on the outskirts. And now I've heard they went back to Soldier Field, right? To downtown. So I think it's things like that. Like once the league starts seeing that, like some teams don't pull that much of a crowd, they need to start reconsidering things. Like, should we move this team? Should we just, you know, just
do ask some Columbus.
Yeah.
Ask Columbus. Columbus was going to move to Austin. And then, I mean, that was a win-win. People wanted Columbus to happen. They wanted Columbus to stay. Austin had buyers who wanted to come in and build the stadium and create it. So they really made a mess of that, because they wanted to take Columbus, move it to Austin, but then you still have a fan base who is thirsting for it, much like they did with San Jose. And I think they saw that that was going to happen again, and they did not want that to happen again. So San Jose ended up getting a team, and they did what they needed to do for Columbus.
To be fair, though, like not to create some controversy or two, but I've always said that the Earthquakes should probably relocate. I've been to a couple of matches, and it's so sad to see how much people they pull in for their supporters group, and even just in general too. Because to put things into perspective, like Republic played against them in the Open Cup, and we played at Bahia, and so we had the chance to go, and we pulled in a good crowd too. We were pretty much, I'm not even kidding, we probably had more people that came to support Sacramento than they had in supporter group down there, like cheering on their team. And seeing that, just it was just mind-boggling to me to see, you know, how like a city like San Jose in the Bay Area doesn't fully support that team. Like, you would think Bay Area is full of a lot of people who follow soccer. And I know you live there, John, and you might know more about why it is that they can't pull in more of a crowd, but it just seems like they should probably consider moving somewhere else, if maybe that's what's going on or whatnot. But it's just sad to see that if the next day MLS is like, we're moving Earthquakes and like moving them to another city once again, I really don't think you're going to get a lot of people like being against that. And if you do get a lot of people, then you have to start asking questions like, why weren't you supporting your team throughout the whole season? And where were all you, I don't know, 30,000 people that are now against it? Why weren't you supporting your team? Because it's really sad to see a team not pull in that much people, especially when they have a good stadium, they're in a good location right across their airport, that it just doesn't make sense to me.
So the flip side of that, are there any USL teams that you guys think should be the next clubs if MLS expands again? Like the ones that are, you know, constantly pulling high attendance rates, that have those markets that you think could survive in the MLS?
AKA, I think, or just like Cincinnati, Adam's favorite team.
No.
I think you look at two squads. You look at Phoenix. You know, that area could potentially do something. The other is Louisville. I think Louisville has a program, has a plan in place. They're building a stadium. They have a good fan base that's rabid for soccer and good bourbon. But for the most part, I think Louisville and, you know, and Phoenix are your two hotbeds right now, that if you were going to go MLS or you were going to have teams, those are your teams that you would have as your go-tos.
Kentucky represent, baby. That's what I like to hear. Louisville is actually really big down here, and it's kind of weird. I walk around my complex. I live in Lexington right now, and I walk around my complex, and there are people who are rocking Louisville like polos and stuff. And I'm like, that's weird, because like everything here is all UK. Like, if you have anything Louisville at all, it's like you're the odd guy out. But tons of people rock Louisville City stuff, which is really, really cool. Yep. So yeah, I'd love to see them if they. I would love to see what happens here, because I moved down here in March and soccer is dead here. You know, there's no training organizations. You've got like one club outside of like that's like a serious club. Everything else is like, oh, let's just go have fun. So I'd love to see what happens to the area when a pro team comes in. Do leagues start to grow? Do people really start getting invested? That'd be something that would be really cool to see.
Well, that's what happens, right? Go ahead, Louis. Sorry.
I was going to say, they had two championships, you know, in the USL. And getting to that point and doing it in a baseball stadium, of all things, too, I think it's a big feat. It's a big feat for them. I mean, they recently beat Phoenix, which is super strong in the West. I mean, that team, like, went on a crazy winning streak. I don't even know how many. Do you remember, John? I think it was like 15 or 20 games that just kept winning too. And so that would be a good spot. I mean, just the fact that they're building a new stadium now, it's probably, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, it's like capacity of like 14,000, 15,000, which wouldn't be too bad, I think, even for MLS. And they're already doing that. I mean, they're already, you know, doing that work for them. So why not just get him on? And like John was saying too, Phoenix would be another good team too. You got people supporting that team. It might be like 120 degrees out there, but you still got a good turnout. The team is proven again to also be really strong. So when you look at Phoenix and Louisville, definitely two of the stronger teams in the USL. And so I think they would be deserving. And I think the fan base there has really proven, you know, that they want a team in MLS too. So again, going back, you know, like you want teams like that, that are already formed. They already have, you know, they're already working on getting their stadium and whatnot. And that you see some commitment behind ownership and behind the fans too.
Yeah, I know Phoenix gets a lot of credit because of who their owners are. Obviously, when Drogba played and was player-owner, I know I watched a few of their matches. I think I watched the Hay played Louisville in the final, right, that year?
So I know that you guys touched upon this a little bit earlier on, but what's the community relationship like with Sacramento? And what are some of the things that maybe you guys have been involved with either the community or with the team or both?
Yeah. So community in Sacramento is huge. I mean, that's what it is. It drives the passion spirit, people working together for the betterment of the city. Sacramento has done a really good job of that with, you know, the drive, the food drive that they did, where they were able to support families and food and help those who need it, who couldn't get out or couldn't make it somewhere. So they did DoorDash of groceries for them to keep them going. And then even just touching out to people, you know, they're doing rewinds, they're doing stuff like that for the community to make sure people still have a thirst or quenching the thirst of football, right? For us, it's about working with the community in hand. So in September, maybe October, depends on what happens, we will be having a 5-on-5 tournament with goalie wars and stuff like that for our community. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the old school goalie wars where you're about 20 yards apart, right? You just blast at each other. So we're going to have a tournament like that. We do boot drives, so donations for cleats to work with Street Soccer USA, which is huge, through our partner Reboot. And so it's a big thing for us to be a part of the community. And whatever we can do to change that, we're very active. You know, our scarves and everything else that we're trying to build, it's only going to make soccer better. It's going to help us, you know, create and make a change, because in the end, you're only as strong as your community. And our community here in Sacramento is extremely strong.
I mean, you guys are the second USL people that we've brought on, obviously Forward Madison being the first. The three of us have been blown away at, not that MLS clubs don't do things within their community, but just how much closer the USL team seem to be in touch with everything.
Yeah, there's definitely a big difference, I think, between both two. And I could even think of like the players themselves too. Like with Sacramento, you know, we've had a lot of players that have gone out and done things for their community too. Like they've gone to UC Davis Hospital too, which is one of our sponsors. And, you know, they've gone out there, you know, to spend time with the kids there and, you know, read books and just, you know, do like activities there too. So they've really been super involved. And, you know, you see the players out and about helping out. I know that our supporters group did. They decided before the season that they were going to plant a tree for every goal that we scored. And so some players went out to help with that effort too. So really, you know, doing things with the team, with the supporters group, and even just for their own as well, I think is something that has really characterized them. And also the fact that, you know, of all the players we've had, like, they've all been really cool. Like you see them at the end of games, like giving out autographs. Like we've had games where we just haven't had a good game. You know, we lost really bad or something, and you still see them out thanking people and going out to sign a couple autographs and whatnot too. So the fact that we've had players like that are so open to the community, so open to getting to know the community, because we've interviewed some players that have mentioned community members and whatnot. And so it really helps grow that aspect, you know, when people can go to games and really relate to the players or see the players as like friends, you know, see the players as like people who are down to earth, who are, you know, willing to talk to them. And we've had the chance to interview a couple of them too. So it's just really great to see that atmosphere. And it's one of those things that, you know, we hope continues to move forward, especially as we join MLS, because if that's the case, like, you know, you're saying, it's, I think it's going to make us really stand out. And at the end of the day, you know, hopefully it also inspires other teams to also do the same, because we just, in the podcast, we always say this too in the podcast, we just want to grow the game nationwide, international. We just want to grow it everywhere too. And if we can do it through our podcast, through our live TV shows, then that's phenomenal, because, you know, we accomplished that.
That's the way you do it. That's the way to look at it. And you know, that should be goal number one right now is, you know, Garber puts out that statement how he wants to be a top five league within the next, what, 2 years. The only way to do that is to start growing and to start spreading it around. And that should be every team's and every person's outlook on it. That's the way it should be. But I got one more question before we go to a little challenge for you guys. And the question is, you join MLS in 2022. You're the fourth Californian team there. Who is rival number one?
San Jose. It's right down, hop, skip, and a jump. I mean, it's an hour and a half drive to San Jose. That's your rival. So I think for me, that's, you know, that's who you're going after, because LA has LA. You could potentially say Portland, but Portland has Seattle, and Vancouver has Seattle and Portland. You got, San Jose doesn't have a rival. So this would be like the team.
I would say San Jose too, but just based on how San Jose is and whatnot. And yeah, we've had some history with them. I would also call my personal rivals LAFC, just because in their first season, we played a friendly game at our stadium too. They barely beat us 1-0. Could have been a 0-0. Mm-hmm. But we also had an Open Cup game against them that same year. This was like 2 years ago. And we gave them game. In fact, we were winning twice. We went up in the scoreline twice in their stadium. And, I mean, sadly, we couldn't keep it up, and they scored the winning goal at the last minute too. We had that. We stopped the penalty too at the end of the first half. So we really, you know, showed that we had a good game against them. And I could see a big rivalry coming along with us too, because you have the 3252 traveling everywhere too. I'm sure they're going to make some travels to Sacramento. And you got our supporters group, Tower Bridge Battalion, which is also going to pull in probably the same amount of members. And I wouldn't be surprised if we also are like them too, where we start seeing some of our supporters just like travel everywhere too. And we're also probably going to probably fill their stadium too, whatever section we get. And so I could see a little rivalry going on there, just because of the really loyal fan bases that are formed around that. And just because of our little history we had there on that Open Cup where we could have beat them.
All right. That's awesome. So we're looking forward to seeing you guys come in and start your rivalries and start really growing in the league, because, you know, not a lot of people in MLS watch USL as well. So we're excited to see you guys grow and really get a foothold in this league. But we're going to go into a little challenge now. This is the first time we're doing this. And what we want to do is start comparing our this game with our interviewers. So we have five players here, I believe. Yes, five players. Each one has five hints attached to it. And what we're going to do is give you a hint at a time and see if you can guess that player. All these players are tied to Sacramento. So basically, if you get it on the first guess, we'll give you 5 points and then take off a point each time we give you a clue. And what we're going to do is total that up at the end and then kind of have like a running tally for everybody we interview and say that Sacramento got four, you know, got 25 points. They are top of the top. Nobody's knocking them off. And see kind of the knowledge that everybody possesses. So I'm going to let Adam ask the first question. If you guys are ready, you have any questions about how it works?
Are these currents or current and former?
Therefore, I will say the last one is not a player. He is just someone who has been a part of your team's history recently. The rest, I believe, are all current players.
Okay.
So first up, clue number one. I grew up playing in the Liverpool Academy, even though I've never played the first
that's,
team.
That's oh, easy. Yeah. That's Billion BJF.
Yep. All right.
Five points.
He's actually our podcast magic. It's a little quick side story here. So we interviewed him. He was actually the first Sacramento Republic player that we interviewed. I should have probably said this as one of my favorite ones too.
Oh, yeah? That's awesome.
So we interviewed him, and then I believe it was the next day or next 2 days. Actually, we interviewed him twice. Actually, I'm wrong. So we interviewed him midweek. And then that Saturday following after that interview, we were going to have a friendly. It was our last friendly this season. And we decided to do another interview, like a game day interview, like, hey, what are your thoughts on this tune? And that game, he ended up scoring a hat trick.
No, right? Brace. Brace,
yeah. Okay. He ended up scoring a brace, too, and we were down.
And a golazo. Game.
Yeah, golazo, too, yeah. Funny, because it was right when I went to John's section, too, that team started changing, too. Yeah, no, it was really amazing to go that was there, and so that was really the birth of what we call podcast magic. And so essentially someone comes on our pod and then they get good luck, and that happened. And so
we'll have to use that to convince some other players to join us next few weeks.
yeah, it works. Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on to the next one. Hopefully this one's a little harder. First clue is I've made 457 appearances over my 18-year career as a professional.
Rodrigo Lopez.
No.
Nope. So you can give you
the move on to the next clue.
Actually, no. I think
actually, yeah. I got a, was it Cole from England?
Mm-mm. No, okay. It's current players, dude. Current just players.
Give him the next one, Connor.
Yeah, all right. Good. Next clue is my highest FIFA Ultimate Team card is a 66 rated silver when I played for Blackpool in 2011.
Deckel.
Yeah.
Dang it. I went with Rodrigo because of the caps, and then I'm like, oh, you said Blackpool. Damn it.
There it is.
Oh, well.
All righty. I'll jump over to the third one here. Clue one is, I went to Peninsula College and led them to a conference championship with 16 goals and 15 assists.
Peninsula College. Where the hell is Peninsula College?
That's what I'm thinking too. I'm like,
I think it's in California.
It probably, yeah.
Never heard of it, but all right. You got that, Luis.
I think I'm gonna need a second. Yeah, I'm not too familiar with some.
On a side note, it is in Washington.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All right. Close. So second clue is, I made my senior debut for semi-professional side, Luke Tafa. In Thailand, where I scored 9 goals in 13 games.
Oh, Apollon.
Yeah. Yep. Apollon it is. It's another 4 points.
Freaking
so you only dropped 2 points so far, which is pretty good.
I don't like dropping points. I get it.
Feel just like when we played against Tulsa.
Yeah. Dropping 2 points. There we go. There's similar.
All right, Connor, for player number 4.
My first four, clue for player.
Are we at 4 already? Wow. All right.
Yep.
Yeah. Player number 4. First clue. I was born in 1987.
Wow. Way to be original.
Any grievances so with clues can be.
He's the older. No. He's the older. He's the older end. He's probably. Let's see. Besides Deckel, who is old. Sorry, Deckel. I'm going, dude. You know who it is. I know who it is. Luis, do you know who it is? He's Mr. Republic, man.
Cameron Iwasa?
Oh my goodness. No.
It can't be it. Yeah,
bro.
Like, can't be into.
Bro, bro, oh, he's 30, yeah. 87, 32. Come on.
Oh,
now.
That's true. Yeah.
Thinking what am I gonna do with you? What am I gonna do with you? I don't lose points, right? We don't lose points because of that, because we didn't get the second guess.
No, that's fine.
Right. No. That's it.
I'll say the fourth clue in that one was I originally signed for Sacramento in 2013 as their first sign.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Cool. Yep. All right. Final person. This is not a player. So this is just someone who's been associated with the club in some capacity.
Cool. Okay.
I think I know who it is. But go ahead.
Okay. I made my senior debut for Brentford, where I played 56 games. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Associated with the club.
Associated. So it's a player that, right? It was a.
He might have had a match.
Doesn't have to be a player.
Oh, it wasn't a player. Wasn't Preki, right? I don't know where he
was. Not Preki started. Preki started in the middle of nowhere, Kansas City.
I'm thinking. What's his name? I feel like it had to be one of our coaches.
He's not gonna tell us.
Give me the next clue.
I feel like it could. Hold on. Mark Briggs?
No,
Coach Briggs?
No.
He didn't start?
No. Lives in El Dorado. His wife is really famous.
Yeah, that's Paul Buckle.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Rebecca Lowe is from that region.
Yep.
Mother Dragons. Ah, yes. Correct. Rebecca Lowe. he's awesome.
Responsible for our one and only fan question that we've had on the show so far.
He golfs regularly. I'll have to see maybe. He doesn't live far from where I'm at. Yeah. He's a good dude.
So that's it. 23 points out of 25 possible is pretty solid. And for a first time ever, that's gonna be a tough one to beat. I gotta admit.
Oh, I'll keep that. I'll keep that record intact.
There you go. Yeah, we'll make sure we update everybody through Twitter, and we'll post things and make sure everybody knows where the standings are. But for right now, you guys are number one.
Hyping that out right now as I speak.
There you go. But that's going to do it for us here. Jonathan, Luis, thank you guys so much for joining us. This is usually the part of the show where we have you guys plug your, you know, podcast information, your personal information, things like that. Anything you want to, you know, you want to have people come find you, follow you, interact with you. This is where we usually let you plug that. So go right ahead.
So we can be found on Instagram and Twitter at SacktownFC. That's where we spend most of our time, is on Twitter. We have a Facebook page for Sacktown FC podcast and a group for Sacramento soccer fans where you can kind of keep up. We are working on a Patreon. That's kind of our next step in our evolution, but we can also find us on our website at sacktownfc.com, where you can get all of our previous episodes. You can find out what Seth's writing in Soccer Pulse, find out what's going on our YouTube page with Liga MX and Sacktown UK. Also, starting next week, we'll have our women's show. Our name is still in discussion, but we will have our women's show probably starting Tuesday this week. You know, from training with the California Storm, who knows?
We are also on we're gamers too. We're on Twitch, Sacktown FC, on Xbox. I manage our Xbox gamer tag. That's just Sacktown FC, and then PlayStation is managed by John here. He's Sacktown_FC. We play FIFA 20. I did recently just play a little bit more of some Fortnite as well. But my main thing is FIFA. So if any of you guys here are FIFA players and you guys have Xbox or PlayStation, or if anyone listening is on one of those two consoles and loves to play FIFA, then we're open to any challenge. So
well, we play FIFA. I don't know if we love to play FIFA. That's the that's the issue here. I just dumped 4 million coins out of my club into packs because I was over the game and I couldn't play anymore. So I will I'll definitely get connected though, and we should play a little bit sometime. But other than that, do you guys have any questions you've been waiting to ask or anything that's on your mind before we ended here?
What's next on your guys' journey? You guys gonna branch out, or you guys interested in joining a network maybe?
We might be. We got some interesting interviews possibly in the pipeline here. We're looking to get Mike Grella and Lloyd Sam on, as well as Quincy Ameriquois, who are still, we're still working out the details on those. Other than that, with MLS coming back, you know, we're going back to talking every week about what's going on and how things are working. We're going to look to try and bring guests from different teams in the group stages so they can come and talk about how their team is doing, because when you play three games a day for, you know, 3 weeks straight, you can't watch them all. So we're going to try and get other people in to make sure that they can update us on things that we haven't seen yet, so we can have a more general, you know, overall MLS vibe instead of a Red Bull Atlanta Inter Miami every week. So that's what's in the pipeline for us. Do you have any cool things coming up? I know you can't talk about what's coming out tomorrow, but anything else you want to tease at?
We recently really branched it out, like we were saying, you know, to do go from just being the podcast to being the Sacktown FC network too. So we're continuing to grow that. We have a lot of ideas in mind too, as to what more things we can add on to that too. But it's really great. You know, again, you know, I wanted to thank you guys for inviting us here and being on here. It's been a really cool talk here. And you know, my last bit, I think, of advice I can give to you guys from, you know, as having the pod for like 4 or 5 months so far, is that I think that the main key to success is really making sure that you're consistent with pods and that, you know, you always have a strong team, and it looks like you guys are really strong. You guys connect with each other too. And that's been our main thing here too, from John, Danny, and me, who were the three originals per se too of the podcast too, is that we kept going at it. You know, COVID hit us and whatnot, but we were still, you know, like still getting out content, you know, working our ways to getting more people on the show, to making sure we were more consistent in posting, because in the podcasting world, people want to see more episodes each week and want to see like a consistent flow. And so that's, I think, one of the biggest keys. But if people see that you have a good connection on the podcast, then they're assuming you have a good connection off the podcast too. And that's a really big thing when you're able to really have that connection off the podcast too, because it really ultimately translates into the podcast as well. So that's my last bit of advice there.
We will make sure we heed that advice. We really enjoy you guys coming on too. This was a great conversation. We had a really good time, and we are very excited to watch you guys grow, and we hope we can grow along with you. But that's probably where we're going to end it. So thank you guys again for joining us. We hope that you, the people who are listening, have made it this far. Make sure you guys are following us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out our website as well to see all of our past episodes and things like that. And until next time, we will see you on the next episode of the Designated Players Podcast. See ya.